coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. I am Andrew, with me as always, the Jedi Cole Houston.
I am indeed with you, as always.
And with you. And with you. Oh, speaking of Christ-like figures this week.
wow, yes.
The death and the resurrection, the Alpha and the Omega. Sorry about the late start this week, if you're following along, life and technology and everything else got in the way. But
assorted fresh L's.
Yeah, just the whatever Dante's rings have given us this week, we've managed to battle through and ended up on mic. So we find ourselves hip deep, dead center in the eye of the storm of a story arc. Cole, what's that story arc?
This is crap. Suddenly I'm drawing a blank on my own story arc. How sad is this? No, this is Family Reunions.
That's right.
This is the third chapter, which is Last Son and Then Some.
That's right.
Because Superman, while, you know, his parents, his planet, his civilization, everything that ever was part of who he is as a Kryptonian, got the finger, as they say in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Well, he need not rely solely on the collected virtual knowledge of Krypton for company.
Well, but you know what's amazing is you're right that it does get the middle finger unless they need it to not get the middle finger.
Yeah.
Like yes, your Kryptonian heritage gets the middle finger up to the point when you need to say I'm the last of my race and everyone else is dead, and unless you need to pull that card, he'll pull that card.
Oh yeah, he will claim that last son status at every turn, yet it doesn't always bear out.
So as we get into this, you know, we're going to do this the same way we did the last couple, where we kind of break it down, you know, break down his family and then go further in. And one thing I wanted to say off the top is I just feel like Superman, when it comes to this issue, right, he's kind of the friend that nobody invited, that just kind of shows up and insinuates himself into a situation, sometimes throughout time, other times just in general, like the guy where you're having a barbecue and he just walks in with like a cold cut plate and he's like, hey, I'm everybody, you remember me, right? I'm here now. I'm a part of this. I'm part of it. He's the skeletons in the David S. Pumpkins sketch of the
right, he's a Beat Boy skeleton.
But yeah, and I think we'll get into that as time goes. Like, the question is not, like, you know, when we talked about the Bat family and even the Fantastic Four family, the Richards and their extended family, we're talking about a very insular group, a group that's very close-knit, whereas Superman, very much a just insinuating himself into all these just different groups. You're my family now. My family, my planet blew up. Feel bad for me and make me part of your family, Legion of Superheroes, and also Daily Planet, and also Justice League, and also never mind the fact that members of my family just keep showing up on Earth.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything. I'm still the last son of Krypton. Feel bad for me and make me a mimosa.
A Jason mimosa, you know it. Well, the thing about being the last son of Krypton is he gets here before anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then he registers in the future, lastsonofkrypton.com.
He mailed himself a letter that said, I'm the last son of Krypton, and he hasn't opened it yet.
Yeah, he literally owns it.
He owns the trademark last son of Krypton. So he's
so got, even like, if others come along, he still holds the title of Last Son.
He's got a function patent on Last Son of Krypton. So
that's right. It's like being, you know, you might get voted out of office, but you never stop being president.
That's right. That's right.
Well, the day you die and forever after, be referred to as president.
Yes. Whoever.
Even if you're like George Washington, he was like the first last son of Krypton of America, because now the presidency is known as the last son of Kryptondom. He's still called President George Washington. He doesn't just simply become that guy George.
Right. He doesn't just become George Washington. Once you get knighted, you're Sir, regardless of what you do.
That's right. You can completely screw up everything about the office.
Right. It's like being a Highlander. There's still, the movie is called Highlander.
Yeah.
But
there can be only one, but there's tons of them. Otherwise, there'd be no one to kill.
You got to make it interesting.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that he was born to Jor-El.
I think he was born in Arizona and moved to Babylonia.
I ain't never been to Spain.
Wait, that's King Tut.
Can we mix Three Dog Night and Steve Martin? Can we do that? But what
this
I find
the only show where that'll ever happen.
What I find really interesting is, so we've got Zod, we've got Jor-El, we've got these names, but he was born to Father Jor-El,
yeah,
and Mother Lara, Jor-El and Lara. Like, that's sad. Like, why doesn't she get a cool name? Why isn't she like Lar-El, L'Oreal?
Yeah, or Lara-El. I mean, is it like a Chewbacca metal time or something? You know, you just don't get...
I want her to be L'Oreal. That's what I want her. I want her to be easy, breezy, breezy, beautiful cover girl. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's the fact that you destroyed your planet and it exploded, and now you had to send your baby off into space.
Well, maybe it's one of those things, you know, after the baby's born, you get to take on the surname. Or the house name, you know?
Yeah, yeah, of House L.
Is yeah, this, but at that point, does it? You know, she's probably been bugging him about, when do I get my L? And like, look, the planet is about to get the finger, as they say on Hey Kids Comics. Is this the hill you want to die on?
Wait, are you telling me in 1938?
Oh, yeah.
They said, like they say in Hey Kids Comics?
Nobody knew what it meant back then, but they mailed us a letter that I have yet to open.
It just says Last Son of Krypton. That's it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it turns out a lot of people got them back then. They were just so flush with their success that they went a little crazy. And
so he gets jettisoned. We're not going to go into the origin of Superman. You know
I think, it. Yeah, I think if you don't know it, you don't need to be listening to this show.
Right. He gets jettisoned. Like so much Millennium Falcon hiding in the trash. there you go.
Without benefit of a Boba Fett.
Cross purposes. We don't know that. I mean, I think that they're... I mean, because in certain continuity, Supergirl was shot out about the same time and just was in space longer.
She had a slower rocket.
Right?
Slow rocket!
God damn it. So now we've done Steve Martin, Three Dog Night, and BTO did Slow Ride. Who did Slow Ride?
Don't ask me these sorts of questions. I don't know anything about it.
You'll just come up with it 3 hours from now.
I mean,
I'll just get a text message.
Yeah, it's either Elton John or Les Miserables. I'm not sure which.
I'll just get a Bachman Turner Overdrive text in 3 hours. Yeah, so
I think it was from Creedence Gold.
So crash lands in Smallville, and is adopted by one of the Dukes of Hazzard, and I believe it was John. Was that Luke Duke? It was Luke Duke. He was adopted by Luke, and I forget who played his mom in the Smallville show, but
I think it was Lana Lang.
In this, his mom's actual actress name was Lana Lang.
I don't know.
I don't think it was Lana Lang. I don't know. Whatever. This is great. We're not punchy or anything.
No, not at all.
Well, What was the name of it? It was Jonathan Kent, and his mom was Martha. What the
Mark? Well, yeah,
I just got
hell
by Martha. I don't.
Why didn't you say that name?
Well, just because I was waiting for that. That's why. What was his mom's name again? If I was Barry Allen, that's what I would do my entire
You're gonna
life.
Turn in your Martha's cape next to Alcon.
If I was Barry Allen, that's all I would do. Is just be like, "What's your mom's name again?" I would just troll the hell out of both of these guys.
That's right. Hashtag mom names.
So immediately we have two families.
I'll tell you right now, Mister, your mom's name is Mom or Mother.
You call her Mother. It's right. Forever. Forever, Anthony Perkins. You call her Mother. But yeah, so immediately we have two families. A family that he didn't even know about until he found a weird thumb drive in a spaceship.
Yeah.
And then the family that raised him that he quickly found out was not his actual family.
Exactly, because he for a while there he thought he was pretty unique. I mean, he is, but I mean, more unique and like he was normal people.
Right. Right, he was skinned.
He was like super. He truly was a Superman. It turned out he was like a super Kryptonian.
He was an average Kryptonian, a Superman. That's what.
Yeah,
he was.
There you go. Yeah.
So yeah, he finds this thumb drive, pops it in. All of a sudden, Brando's on there, running his mouth about who he is. How? So I think that begins a psychopathy within.
Well, it's a wonder he's as well adjusted as he is, all things considered. I mean, you know, he has to carry the biggest. I mean, you talk about Superman; it's like super survivor guilt. I mean, he didn't have a lot of say in the matter. He didn't have much of the command of the Kryptonian language at that age, but still.
Yeah, but we start to see this thing where, like I said at the top of the show, where he pretty much just starts. Seriously, like starts insinuating himself into every possible family unit he finds, and it's not a matter of like Batman tries to stay away from that shit. Like that's what Batman does. Batman does everything in his power to divorce himself from those. Where Superman does everything in his power to jump right in the hairy middle of every
yeah.
type of family unit possibly imaginable. And I think this is where it starts. When you find a thumb drive and some guy pops up and says, hey, your dad, cool. What I'm going to do for the
I'm your absentee dead father.
Right. What I'm going to do for the next 12 years is just dump Kryptonian knowledge at you so that you're ready to do something. Like, whatever you, I guess, decide to do with it's your call, but it's yours now. So,
yeah.
You know, that's – And then what does he think of John and Martha? Because they've kept this from him until he was old enough, you know, like until they were like,
yeah,
I guess
well,
you're
you
old
know,
enough now.
It's the thing about it is, at what age do you tell a child that they're adopted? And even more difficult, at what age do you tell a child that they're the adopted last son of Krypton?
Right.
Of course, they didn't know where he was from, but, you know, they found him in a Flash Gordon space rocket, and you know, for all they know, he was like a really bad idea stunt from a movie.
Right? Yeah. I love the fact that they made his original costume out of indestructible blankets that they found in the.
Well, they're indestructible, but they will just fold to a pair of pinking shears and a.
That's what I mean. It's like, wait, that doesn't work for me. But yeah, so we immediately get two family units. And if we're talking about the core group, we also have the wife. We got to talk about Lois in this group. You know, if we're talking about the real locked-in group, his wife, Lois Lane, which, okay, so I was thinking about this today, and it might not be directly related to the family, but I have a question that maybe you can help me answer.
All right.
How do you handle, do you marry Clark Kent or do you marry Kal-El?
Well, you do one of those things like at the end of the Birdcage where you have the Catholic priest and the rabbi.
God damn it. Okay. Yeah, keep going. I run into ground.
Yeah,
run into ground, buddy.
you pretty much just have to let both cultures stand.
But I mean, at that point, do you say, "Oh, look, it's Clark Kent"? And
I think you marry Clark Kent because it becomes the headline.
MFK, Kal-El, Clark Kent, and Superman. Who do you marry? Who do you kill? And who do you bone? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, well, it's definitely boning Superman. She married Clark, but she sees Superman on the side.
There you go. That's a good answer. I like that.
And, of course, you kill JFK, because I think if movies and television have taught us anything, it's inevitable, so you may as well pull the trigger yourself.
You can't stop it.
You can't stop it. It is locked in time in every dimension.
God damn it. Damn it, Stephen King. You crazy, beautiful cokehead. So what else do you got? So we got the core group. We got the two. We got the real family. We got the adopted family. And he runs off at some point to find his biological long dead parents at some point. Like, flies off into space and is gone for a real long time, comes back and says, "I'm back." So who else falls into that real core family unit for him? This is really interesting because it's so different from Batman. It's so different from...
Well, you know, in a sense, Superman has the benefit, as Clark Kent, of having been able to appreciate a genuine family environment. I mean, what kind of twisted logic went into, well, he's wealthy, so just let the butler raise him?
Yeah, we call that privilege where I'm from.
Yeah. I mean, I guess 1% of the population gets to be unadopted.
Right, adopt yourself, pal. Like, this is who you are. Who falls? But seriously, who falls out? Who else falls into that? Which you would consider that core group of family? Would you consider Jimmy Olsen in that group at this point?
Well, what I'm rather getting at is you start out because of, you know, in a way, Superman was the original retcon.
Okay.
Because Superman got retooled to allow for the existence of a Superboy.
Right.
So, you know, up to a point, there was what all happened in his formative years was just sort of glossed over, left to, you know, to your own imagination. So you retrofit him to Superboy. So there we need to actually explore the original Superman family, as it were.
Okay, let's do it.
And
go for it.
And that is, of course, the Kents.
Right.
His best pal, kind of Pete Ross.
Sure.
Or in Smallville, Pete the Boss Ross.
Pete Ross sounds way too much like Pete Moss for me.
Oh, it does. It really does. It would be like something you would find on the at Michael's in the fake flower aisle. At the MJ Designs or whatever your regional craft store is.
So what else you got? You got Pete Ross. You got,
of course, Lana Lang.
Lana Lang
becomes the first alliterative girlfriend.
There's so many.
Yeah. Followed later by another one, Lori Lamara. So he's got this thing for LLs.
He does.
But for her last name, he would have dated Laverne DeFazio.
I think he would have dated Laverne. I think he did date Laverne DeFazio.
He probably did date Laverne.
Yeah, until he accidentally killed Squiggy.
Well, what he actually did was squash the Beatles. That wasn't a cardboard cutout on their wall.
That was the actual
Beatles. That was the actual Beatles. They're just ashy from decomposition.
I just like in my brain that he kills he kills Squiggy. Where he just like accidentally is like,
"Hello." Yeah, like heat vision.
Ooh, that's gonna be
A dustpan.
I'm gonna leave and then you'll never see me again.
See Laverne being completely unbothered. I'll get a dustpan. You know, it's just like gonna sweep up the ashes. Has anybody seen Squiggy? No.
God, what is wrong with us tonight?
No, this is supposed to be a happy thing.
Oh God, I think my problem is that I hate talking about Superman. Like, and we talked about this on the show. Just It's just very hard for me to talk about Superman. He's uninteresting for me, other than the fact that now I've kind of figured out that he's this just kind of asshole, that this insinuating force.
Look what he did to Squiggy!
Just putting himself into, hey, I'm from the past, guys. I'm gonna be part of your group now. Cool? Awesome. So I'm the leader.
Well, I mean, he goes to the future. I wonder what our friends from the future are like. And he gets there, and there's like a whole Superman museum. And I'm not talking about like one of those little roadside tourist traps. I'm talking about this big ass, you know, multi-story Smithsonian level museum with nothing but Superman stuff. Pa Kent's damn tractor, which is like 2,000 years old.
It's just hanging out in there.
Yeah, it's just like up there like the Spirit of 76 or something. So, no, I think that, you know, I don't think he's really insinuating himself. It would be like, you know, the hero worship. It's like if, you know, Treasury Department was treated to a resurrected, Elliot Ness or something.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like at that point you have two options, right? You kind of go, okay, this is weird. Because it's not like he went up there as Superman, right?
Yeah.
He went up there as Superboy. So he doesn't show up and go, oh, okay, this is really weird. Guys, I guess I'm supposed to help you.
Yeah, luckily I came back in time while I was still young, though theoretically I could come back in time at any stage of my development. Check out, hang on just a second, I got to go to the not-so-distant future. Tell my mullet self to come visit you. You guys, because I'm sure a lot of people go to that museum and say, there's no way. There is no way. No, he actually, yep. He sported that haircut.
Or you go back and you go, all right, well, I guess I'm the leader now. Sorry, three of you that have been leading it so far.
Yeah, you've done a great job, but I hope you realize I'm the inspiration for this. I should naturally, as a matter of course. And he just walks in, point of order.
Right, I'm Superboy. Yeah. That museum you have, it's of me.
It gives me carte blanche to do whatever the hell I want. But I think it's interesting you bring up the Legion of Superheroes, or that they have come up in this, because they in a way are part of that Superboy family.
They absolutely are.
They're like, you know, Pete and Lana are great, but these guys are like superhuman.
Yeah, you literally went to the future to find a family.
Yeah.
But you already, that's what I mean by insinuating. Like, most people, like Rip Hunter, the idea is you go to the future and you do everything in your power humanly possible not to change anything. Nope. Exactly. Nope, nope, nope. I'm going to change everything. I'm going to get in the hairy middle of literally everything. It's all mine. The world is mine. You're my friend now. You're my family. I didn't have one. I was recently informed, matter of fact, that my family died, so you're my family now.
That's right.
But we have these historical records that said you have this vast family. The family of man is at your disposal at all times. Yep. Had that too. I'm going to have that, but you're at two now. You're mine now. You get in my pocket. You're mine now.
That's right. So, you know, you start out with the sort of rural, regional Superman family. Then you go off to the big city. Well,
the big city.
Well, danger lurks everywhere, as do temptations of the flesh.
Speaking of what you just did.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Big shout out. Old Hollywood got married this week.
Oh, yes.
So Old Hollywood's married now. So he's married. Good on you, Old Hollywood. Proud of you, kid. I guess he can stay in the picture. Okay, continue.
So, yeah, so once you get to Metropolis, then you really start to expand, because technically, or at least chronologically, you have, you know, the Superman cast of characters is older than the Superboy cast of characters.
Right.
So, you know, now you have a different kind of strange dynamic when you're talking about it from different angles. But at the end, what you have is you go off to the big city to really find out who you are as a person, because you're, you know, your only option is to be sort of this secret superhero. But, you know, really, even so, even though you love to go and mess things up in the future, you don't really want to rock the boat too much in the present.
It gets real confusing. It gets super confusing.
Most assuredly.
But it, I also want to drop in at this point, because I think we're at the point we can mention it, that of all of the, with the exception of the Fantastic Four, which is the entire book, right? This might be the only one we're talking about in this story arc that has its own comic book based on the family.
That's true.
In the Superman family. And I think this is, you know, kind of where it is, where you've got Lois Lane. Oh, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane.
That's right.
Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, and Supergirl. Like, those.
Didn't you also even had a Superman family? Yeah, I guess that was sort of where they brought all those different things together. But at intervals, you know, Jimmy Olsen had his own monthly.
Yeah.
Lois Lane had her own monthly. And then the family, which was pretty much mostly Jimmy Olsen, Lois Lane, and Superboy, as you mentioned, but also even like standalone stories with Krypto, the Super Dog. Mm-hmm,
the Super Dog. And then you had Mr. and Mrs. Superman, which in which case I think Lois Lane wasn't, if I remember my crisis on Infinite Earths and my crisis of two, you know, the Earth 2 Lois was a superhero.
I'm not certain, because she was in Crisis on Infinite Earths. That Superman, which effectively the Golden Age characters became Earth 2 for a while, that Lois Lane, or that, in the Crisis, that Lois Lane was dying. So I'm not sure. She may have had superpowers at some point.
Right.
But she was still very much a vulnerable human being.
Yes, yes. But yeah, so they got their own book. And I mean, this, I don't even know if we'll have time to get into the fur family, the fur children that Superman has in his family, including a cat, a dog, a horse.
I mean, apparently, much like the Russian and American space programs, they shot other things into space and didn't wait to see if they got anywhere, because other Johnny-come-latelys on slow-moving rocket vessels
just keep showing up.
Yeah, all the... Every animal, you have to wonder how many animals died in space from asteroid collisions or being, you know, I want to see an Alan Moore story about like a ferret or something.
Or if it's like
got misdirected, or like a super goldfish that now is a ruler, you know, its progeny are now the rulers of.
Like a super koi that just grew to a universal infinite size because it eats the sun. So it's just somewhere in space just continuing to grow to fit its pond, and its pond is the universe.
That's right. So it's infinite.
Oh, that's good. That's good stuff right there. I like that.
Yeah. They're often the comics I want someone to make just for me.
Well, what I want is one of those Green Lantern stories, from the stories of Alan Moore collected edition, which we can't suggest enough that you pick up.
Oh yes,
is a story about the what is essentially the elephant graveyard of Kryptonian animals that got sucked into some sort of well, you know, and the Green Lanterns stumble upon this and have to like detective piece it back together, that it was just like all these animals shot off from Krypton before it exploded.
It never occurred to anybody to send a lot of people. They were trying to preserve as much of their fauna as possible. And to my knowledge, there were no invasive plant species that managed to get away. And they didn't know Noah's Ark, thank goodness.
Yeah, right. Otherwise, Earth would just be populated with horses wearing capes.
That's right.
It's just all horses wearing capes all the time. Nobody wants that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Yes, but we digress.
Yes, indeed. We have a lot of ground to cover.
But
so
that's what I mean. Like, yeah, everything's a family. You want to go? You're a city in a bottle. You're my family now. Get in my pocket. Like, what else is your family, Clark? You son of a bitch.
Well, like, then you know, if one family in his youth in the future wasn't enough, then in his present, he has to make all family way with the Justice League.
Well, that's, yes, exactly. Just.
And then he becomes the sort of ad hoc patriarch of the Justice League.
When the Justice League existed.
Asshole.
No, that's what I'm saying. The Justice League existed prior to his arrival. Like, the original Justice League was what? It was Aquaman, Black Canary, Green Arrow. Who was it? Wonder Woman?
Oh, yeah. Aquaman, Flash, Wonder Woman, Martian Manhunter.
Yes. I think that was it.
It's like, where were you when we were fighting the space starfish?
Right. And then all of a sudden, he just shows up and basically is all, oh, Superman's here, so everybody else can stand down. We got this now. Like, jackass.
I'm in charge here.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing about it is, it becomes sort of like, okay, it's sort of like movie X-Men. Now, bear with me.
Oh, God. I'm trying.
When you bring X-Men to the silver screen, the last thing in the world, apparently, that you do is to have the X-Men, you know, follow the same sort of timeline they do in the comics. So what you do instead is bring in Wolverine. Wolverine then becomes the Superman.
Right. And just, yeah, you want to talk about family units? We should talk about Wolverine. Good night. Like, I don't even know, like, how many weird wolf brother and sisters he has at this point, but it's too many. Too many. But yeah, but at this point, I think we kind of need to talk about the various cousins.
Yeah.
That the man has.
Yeah, before we get into the... we actually have to get into the proper family.
Well, go ahead and... Yes. Yes.
And you're right. Yeah, so first cousin to arrive is none other than... crap, now I'm drawing a blank on her name.
Kara, right?
Yeah, Kara.
Who is Supergirl.
So exactly.
She's the first to hit the scene.
Yeah, she just sort of hoves in out of nowhere.
And literally, we were making a joke about it earlier, but the story is that she was shot off from Krypton as well, just didn't get there for another 30 years.
Yeah, apparently her spacecraft, her dad's rocketry was not nearly as good as Cal's dad.
Yeah, what's a, like, okay, it's fine. So yeah, she's the first one to show up, make her arrival. But then you start having all these kind of hells a poppin' super people just start showing up out of nowhere. You get your Superboy again, another Superboy. You've got Streaky. You've got Streaky's a cat, by the way. That's Supergirl's cat.
Now, actually, interesting enough, Streaky, if I'm not mistaken, is not a Kryptonian cat.
Really?
Streaky is an Earth cat.
Of course.
Felis domesticus, who got, like, magic zapped.
Oh.
So of the super animals, Freaky is... Freaky?
Streaky.
I was channeling my very favorite General Mills cereal from the past, Freakies.
It's Freakos.
Oh, no, Freaky cereal is a damned fine cereal.
That's not real.
No, it is.
Okay.
Freakies has vitamins. Freakies has iron.
I think you're
yeah, look up the Freakies tree and look up vintage commercials. Your dog will love Freakies cereal.
Okay, I will. Not right okay. now.
Not right now. So, yes, but you do have a car arriving. When you go into the future, you meet Mon-El.
Right. Where'd he come from? He's from the future.
How slow-ass was your rocket that it took 3,000 years to reach Earth?
You're literally from the future. How are you calling yourself the last son of Krypton when there's a son of Krypton 3,000 years in the future, you jackass? And how is that guy not the Superman?
Yeah, exactly. Why didn't he... Where was he when Superman showed up to take over? Didn't even so much as challenge, like, oh, sure, Superboy, I'm like the grown-up version of you already. Though I guess technically they were all teens. But I mean, at that point in the future, if you're not the CEO of a major corporation at 14, you're nothing.
Right. If you're not green.
I mean, they're like, it's like Naboo in the 30th century.
I hate you. I hate you. Yeah, it's 53 for Mon-El. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so Mon-El but they ended up changing his home planet to Daxam, which is that you'll find happens over and over again with these, like, that way he can continue to be the last. It's like he had them sign a non-disclosure agreement that they were okay. You can use the Superman likeness, but you have to tell people you're from Daxam. You can't be from Krypton. But I'm from Krypton. Yeah, I know that they just.
But I think it would be best for all of the Daxamites. Because, I mean, look at the Legion of Superheroes. Everybody represents a planet where everybody has the same damn powers.
Right.
So if you're here, then no other Daxamites can be part of the show.
It's like Krypton ejaculated like so many spermatozoa, all of these Kryptonians, but Superman fertilized that egg first. The other ones just got there a little later.
That's right.
It's a really bad suddenly, analogy because...
Everything shot off of Krypton came from the same hemisphere, apparently, because it all just went straight to Earth, as far as we know.
Well, of course it did, because it's the dirty truck stop of the universe.
That's true. I mean, some of the rockets went astray, and, like, Space Cabby came, just gave him a little, you know, NASCAR bump there to get him back on course.
But once the floodgates opened with Crisis...
That's true.
Now you got Power Girl...
Now, didn't Power Girl come from the mysterious world of from Warlord, at least initially?
That's a good question. I'm going to look it up and find out, because that would be super weird, and I didn't know that. We're going to find out. So, Kara Zor-El,
okay,
right? So, she's an L, right? I thought.
Okay, yeah, you may be right. For some reason, I think at some point in the history, and they may have retooled her, that she was, like, from the Warlord world or had some connection to it. I don't know why I'm channeling that. But, yes, Power Girl certainly is very much a part of the Superman family. Multiple generations and iterations of Supergirl, of course.
Right. Oh, is this it? Yeah, I kind of found your – she was Atlantean.
Oh, okay.
According to the Crisis, when she came back after the Crisis, she was Atlantean. Prior to the Crisis, she was definitely Kryptonian. But she was Kara, so she was the Supergirl of Earth 2. So you
she was the like the JSA Supergirl.
Yeah, so you have a Supergirl and a Superboy and a Superman and all of the Tremens on Earth 1. Now you've got Funhouse Mirror Family... folding themselves in there and making it happen with those second cousins, those kissing cousins over there on Earth 2. There's so much. It's so annoying that there's so much. And then you've got, I guess, Lana Lang, who becomes Superwoman at some point.
Yes.
Is hanging out, which is weird. Right? Because she's not from Krypton, or is she?
Well, it seems like if you're in the Superman sphere of influence, you might eventually become some sort of super being. Like one James Olsen, who becomes the inadvertent rampaging Turtle Boy. Or later becomes Elastic Lad.
Or like Perry White, who becomes Deadline. A Punisher, yes. Like, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
But you also have Nightwing and Flamebird, which are kind of folded in there based on the gods, Nightwing and Flamebird. I guess they're not gods. I guess they're...
Well, apparently they're, according to some versions of the characters, they were like Kryptonian superheroes.
Yes.
So they inform the inspiration to become Superman in a retrofitting way. Because it is, after all, only retrofitting that it'd be this way.
Damn it. And keep in mind, we're 45 minutes into this. And oh, we haven't shit. Even begun to scratch. We are not getting to everything. But I also want to talk about your weird third cousins from the Ozark that roll into town. For like your cousin Eddie's. And that would be Steel, Superboy, the Eradicator, Cyborg Superman.
Yeah, this, of course, you're referring to the Reign of the Superman.
I am. Yes, sir.
Which occurred upon Superman's death.
Yes.
That suddenly there was a period of surrogate super people.
There were absolutely. Some of them were clones, half clones of Superman and Lex Luthor, that are still relevant today. Some of them were men in a suit, such as Steel. Others were... So the Eradicator was...
The Eradicator was a Kryptonian artifact that upon Superman's death then became sort of the John Byrne Kryptonian in his weird little, like, Bob Mackey costume.
Yes. Bob Mackey costume.
I mean, part of those costumes with the Byrne interpretation of Krypton, you just kind of, you thought it was like a bunch of tissue dispensers. Like, which was handy when Superman died. You could, the Eradicator could just walk along and everybody could just pull one out.
Some of those became villains. Some of those became anti-heroes. Some of them became heroes in their own right. If you look at Steel, he's had a good run. I do want to talk about Crazy Uncles, though, because I think there's two that bear mentioning as we press forward. One of them is fairly obvious, I think, and I'm saving the best for last, Cole, because I think that it bears to be talked about last.
Oh, yes.
But I think fitting firmly into this category is none other than... of the two, I'd say the most obvious, which is Bruce Wayne, Batman.
Duh, yeah.
Would be the crazy uncle of this family, because he's literally the only person that is egotistical enough to go toe-to-toe and hang out with Superman and be a part of his life and know the Kents and know Lois. Lois, yeah, knows that Batman is Bruce Wayne.
Apparently never had made the connection about... You know, never asked, just always called her Ma Kent, never asked what her name was.
Right.
Didn't look at the giant Kent family Bible with everybody's name written in it.
So, yeah, Bruce falls in that category, but I think there's even one that defies explanation. Okay, Cole?
Are you
prepared for this?
I'm ready.
Bibbo Bogowski.
I was going to say, we cannot leave here without bringing up Bibbo. Bibbo falls into that unique satellite family.
But, yeah. I just think he's the weird... If his family is this weird and this big, and he insinuates himself into so many families, I think that he's the crazy uncle for exactly the same reason. Because he has figured out a way to insinuate himself into Superman's life. That's why I feel Bibbo makes the cut here.
Yeah, he's sort of a self-styled Superman super fan. So it's kind of like The Walking Dead, except he's the only one sitting in videotapes of himself. And a lot of that mail gets misdirected to Santa. So there's a lot of confusion there, and because it used to be that was the only mail going that way.
But also, the guy has during the aforementioned Reign of Superman, donned a Superman costume and attempted to keep order in his little part of town. You know, he wants to be a part of Superman's life so badly. That I think it's sad to me that only kind of super tangentially after we talked about all the other lives that Superman has insinuated himself into.
That
he will not be able, that Superman will not allow him to play a bigger part in his life, even though they've met multiple times. He's helped Superman on multiple occasions. Superman just kind of like, you're not good enough to roll with me, you know, Bibbo. Like, and I think Bibbo's the hero we all deserve.
Absolutely. Well, Bibbo's got such a good heart, and then he winds up winning. If memory serves, he wins somebody else's lottery. So it's like, yes. My name is Earl.
No, I think it is.
Only without any remorse behind it. He just finds, maybe he felt like Pete Ross or the guy that's Guardian or somebody. Speaking of people who are in the satellite family, the Guardian, who's sort of the Captain America of DC.
One up that, the Newsboy Legion's out there running around.
Oh, yeah.
It's too many. We could just do an hour of listing people's names. That's all we could do. No, you're right, but I think Bibbo deserves it. I think Bibbo deserves to be in the upper echelon of the Superman family. Jackass is not letting Bibbo have his shot. All right, Cole, we got 10 minutes left.
Okay. Let me see who all was in.
Time to dig in. I saved this for last. Okay?
Okay. Let me take a quick peek at who else.
Well, there's one that's not even on the list that needs to... This is it. There is a world unlike any other world. A world very similar to our world.
Oh, yes. Everybody has that one black sheep of the family.
And Superman is no different. Who are we talking about, Cole?
Well, The family member you don't really want to talk about, but you can't help but recognize that he's there and very much part of the family. Literally the polar opposite of everybody in every way. Or, if you ask him, he's the same. We're talking about Bizarro.
Damn Bizarro. Bizarro loves this podcast.
Yes, indeed. Bizarro loves this podcast more than any other podcast. Or less than any other podcast. I'm not sure which. I'll have to see if I can dig up the Bizarro Solomon Grundy letters article I wrote years ago.
You really should. That was great. You really should. See if you
should. I put a link to that on here because that was a fun, if mind-mangling, write.
Just misunderstood, you know, taken advantage of, brought to earth. You know, and where everything is opposite of where he's from. So the thought is, you know, doing bad is good. And that's poor Bizarro. How do you feel about Bizarro? Where are you at with Bizarro?
Bizarro is one of those, I think he's one of these characters that started out as sort of a, you know, very much of the period he was created. Mm-hmm. It's sort of just a fun, you know, nod. I wonder what it'd be like if there was like a reverse world with a screwed up Superman. And then, you know, depending under who's shepherding him through the character mill, as it were, you get a lot of unique takes. I think he's one of those characters that, you know, it was kind of a, you don't expect. People have taken this character that I love when they take a ridiculous character and find new ways to breathe life into it. And he's one who's lent himself beautifully to that.
Well, he's one of those characters we talk about when we talk about, you know, the sad characters or misunderstood characters. You know, it's almost worth doing an entire Bizarro show because there's so much to Bizarro, Bizarro World, Bat-Zarro, you know, all of these characters that from this world that function in the complete opposite spectrum of good and bad or right and wrong or
in their case bad and good
right than we do. So you bring this poor guy over and you tell him to do what he does and he does it because where he's from that's what you do. And
yeah.
then you know. And then Superman beats on him and wails on him for a while. And he doesn't know what that means or why it's
like,
happening.
It's Lenny
from Of Mice and Men.
Yeah, it's like, why didn't you beat me up like that?
He writes. All right. So, do you have any final thoughts or any ideas or anything we've missed that you definitely want to bring up before we close this out?
Well, I think you can look at the Superman family on a whole as one of those, it was like a Copernican universe model or a solar system model.
Okay.
Where you have Superman at the center, and then you have your close orbit, like with the Kents and the Smallville extended family, as it were. And then you have your further orbit, like the Metropolis family, and then your further orbit of the other kind of pseudo family that he has, that the sort of family he's chosen, or that in the case of Bibbo has chosen him. And I think that's what one of the things that really makes the Superman family the most cohesive of these sort of blood relative slash friend families slash colleagues.
Yeah.
Because it's just chock-a-block full of ever-increasing circles that orbit around Superman.
Right. Well, and it's almost to the point now where, you know, you make a case for all of these orbits going, like you said, the Copernican model, which is a really good analogy, right? But then almost, it's almost as if there are multiple suns in the same solar system, and all of these things get to revolve in a close or further orbit depending on what that sun wants.
Yes, exactly.
So you know what I mean? Like, okay, I'm going to push you out, and I'm going to modulate them in for a while, then I'm going to push you out and modulate. Like, it's very bizarre. Superman is very bizarre. I think there's a psychology and a pathology there that we haven't even begun to scratch the surface on. When it comes to Superman and his familial relations, I think this was really, really an interesting one to look at and see, I think, and for me at least, because you get all these, like, all of a sudden Superman starts popping up in all of these kind of units. You know, we didn't even talk about the Daily Planet unit that he insinuates himself into, trying to be mild-mannered and can't help himself.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the worst attendance for employee meetings, yet he has never missed a deadline.
Right.
In fact, about 20 years ago, there was a for longer than that, actually, there was a televised special, which was kind of a tongue-in-cheek Superman celebration for, I think, his 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
And they actually had some publisher of an actual newspaper like the New York Times or something like that talking about Clark Kent.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They had, like, Ralph Nader on there talking about how to be sure you buy the right kind of kryptonite.
Oh, that's awesome. We should try to find that.
Oh, you should. It's fun. Tom Davis of Franken and Davis plays Mind Wave.
Yes.
Old GSA villain. But they're talking about how Clark Kent, he's like, Clark Kent is a great reporter. His manners are a little on the mild side.
Yeah.
But he's an incredibly fast typist. And when you hold the front page as often as the Daily Planet, you don't want Molasses Joe running the keys.
Molasses Joe. Oh, my God. All right. We got to do this. We got to wrap it up. So, Cole, next week, what do we got?
Well, next week we are going to talk about one of the fastest growing families out there, because it started out as a very, very small family.
Yes.
And then it just exploded through marriage and, you know, all of a sudden there's all these cousins coming out of the woodwork and all this. And so, excuse me, tune in next week. For family reunions, along came a spider, and we're going to talk about the ever just spiraling Spider-Verse and Spider-Man family.
17 like sisters now, like, where are they coming from? Like, it's almost Superman-esque, except these just come out of the woodwork. I don't know how it works, but they do come out of the woodwork. Absolutely, yes. Okay, so why don't you plug us up? We'll get out of here. And make room for the next show that comes in. I don't know who's in the studio next, but
good night. Yeah, we made a mess of it. There's just like super stuff everywhere.
I know. There's super spermatozoa. Is that what I got wow. said earlier? Yeah,
you did. I wish you hadn't. But
I hope you. I hope you made notes. That you said you were going to take notes. That you were. Taking
I tried to, but up to I was so dumbstruck at that point I couldn't take any more notes.
Oh, shit. All right. Go ahead and plug us up, and we'll get out of here.
Yes, indeed. We're coming to you, of course, from the auspices of the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com, where you can catch the this show and, of course, the Rancor Pit. If you want to see myself and my co-host from the Rancor Pit, Eddie Medina, streaming live on the first and third Sundays of every month, check out the Rancor Pit Live. In fact, just last week we had a double feature, so check that out on the archive. And
yeah, we're spent. Yeah. It's been a whole thing.
On DallasOnAir.com, first and third Sundays of every month from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. And on the third Sundays of every month, my show, relatively new show, a little over a year old now, Isle of Toys, A-I-S-L-E of Toys, you can find that on DallasOnAir.com on the third Sundays of every month from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. I hope I'm recovered by the time
you
the next
will be. You will be. I have faith in you. Yeah, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, on HK Comics Show. Thank you to everybody. We've had a lot of, like, kind of new, I guess, pickups and a lot of other podcasts that have recently kind of entered our orbit, much like any rando Kryptonian that shows up out of left field. Cocktail Party Massacre has really been active for us, and I really appreciate it. It's they kind of came out of nowhere, and they're really cool. So listen to Cocktail Party Massacre. It's not a JCU show, but they're really cool people. All that being said, buy, collect, enjoy your comics the way that Superman collects families, and we'll see you next week for more Hey Kids Comics. Say goodnight, Cole.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, stay super. Everybody. What'd you say? Stay super.
Stay super.
Stay super. You're my family now. I just claimed you. You're not allowed to have any other family. Good. There you go.